Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at mathworks.com.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. Over the years, we've talked with many local college and university presidents about current challenges and the way forward in higher education. They've typically been the leaders of traditional liberal arts schools or larger universities. Today, we'll turn those questions on the president of one of Boston's more specialized colleges.
In fact, Lee Pelton says that Emerson College could serve as a model for less focused liberal arts colleges that are struggling for relevance today. Emerson calls itself a school, quote, devoted to communication in the arts in a liberal arts context. Pelton puts it more clearly. You want to learn how to make a documentary about the Civil War? Well, you can do that at Emerson, but you're also going to learn about the history of the Civil War there, too. Call it an enriched specialization model. But does it work? Lee Pelton became president of Emerson in 2012, and the college's ambition and scope has grown in the two short years he's been there. He joins us now in the studio. President Pelton, welcome to Radio Boston.
Well, thank you. It's great to be here.
It's great to have you. And listeners, if you have a question for President Lee Pelton, call us at 1-800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. How do you think specialty schools like Emerson can balance the arts and liberal arts? And does that serve as a model for higher education overall as we moved into the 21st century? Again, the number is 1-800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. President Pelton, I wonder if I might just start with a very simple question to you of how would you characterize what Emerson College is today, what its mission is?
Well, you know, thank you. That's a great question. We're not a traditional liberal arts college, nor are we a traditional professional school. We've taken elements of both and created something distinctive and unique. And while liberal arts colleges, many liberal arts colleges are searching for relevance, and many professional schools are searching for a way to embed liberal learning into their curriculum, we've done both. And that model serves us very well. There's high demand for Emerson, and it serves our students very well.
Well, I was wondering if you could tell me a little bit more specifically what you're talking about, because I think at first glance, people who aren't Emerson grads themselves or familiar with the programs inside the college, they might think that this is a place that attracts students who have their eyes set on Hollywood or Broadway.
Right, right.
But so how are you actually fusing the liberal arts into that kind of specialty focus that many of your students might have?
Well, I humorously describe us as MIT for the other side of the brain. And that is to say that we have students who come to us with a passion and a particular professional discipline, in the same way that in an engineering school you have students who know that they want to be a civil engineer or they want to study architecture. And if left to their own devices, that is what they would do. And yet our view is that we also want them to come into an environment, a learning environment, where they not only leave us with a set of skills around a certain set of disciplines, but they also live and work and breathe in a context that puts them in contact with aesthetic forms, political and social forms, with history, and so on. And that will make them better at their profession.
And Emerson has been undergoing a lot of growth in recent years. I mean, even before you arrived, obviously there was a huge amount of expansion on the campus here in Boston, essentially sort of spearheading the revitalization of the theater district here. But now also since then, Emerson has opened a huge LA building where students can study for a semester, so at the doorstep of Hollywood. Literally. You've also launched a Center for Civic Engagement Learning and Research. How do Emerson students plug into or contribute to finding solutions for the city through civic engagement?
Well, you know, the nation looks to colleges and universities to solve its most pressing problems. Just as we ask our students to be engaged in the larger society, At Emerson, we feel quite strongly that the institution ought to be civically engaged, and so we developed the Elma Lewis Center, which was named after the enormous, wonderful leader in this community, mm-hmm. Who was a class of 43 who received not one but two so-called MacArthur Genius Awards, and we named it after her to honor her legacy, and we're using that as a way to reach out to communities. To make sure that our students leave with a sure sense of what it means to be civically engaged, and so we're already making some good inroads in that particular respect.
Yeah, I have to say I'm very compelled by this idea, this mission of mixing what's essentially a professional, specialized education with a liberal arts foundation. But before we sort of dive into that more deeply and sort of why that may matter, especially in the complicated context of 21st century higher ed, I'm wondering if we could actually reach back into your own past, because you came to Emerson from 13 years at Willamette University, I believe now. It's Willamette University in Oregon, which is much more a traditional liberal arts school that doesn't necessarily have the fine focus that Emerson might have. Right. I mean, I wonder how you might compare the missions of two schools like that, and what drew you to Emerson after 13 years at Willamette.
Right. Well, my entire career in higher education has been at some pretty good liberal arts colleges, Willamette, and before that Dartmouth College, where I was dean, and Colgate. I was at dean, and then I was at Harvard for a long time previous to that. All of those are terrific institutions. There were two things that drove me to Emerson. One is I had been a college president for 13 years and had an opportunity to do it elsewhere, and I didn't want to repeat myself, so I did want to go to a place where I could learn and grow and develop as a person and as a academic. The other is that I was enormously and continue to be enormously attracted to this intersection of liberal learning and specialized disciplines, which are so important and so enormously relevant in the 21st century. When you, I was part of a higher education association that we would annually survey the CEOs of the top 400 Fortune companies, and they listed a set of characteristics that they were looking for in their employees. New employees, communications with at the top, and the ability to persuade and have good rhetorical and oratorical skills. But they were also looking for students who, before they left, had some experiential learning, learned how to work in groups and collaborate with others, which is the way in which the work world is organized today. And they wanted, young people who understood sort of this age of convergence that we now live in. And so Emerson serves that need very, very well.
So two interesting things there. The age of convergence. I mean, you gave us a brief and humble outline of your personal path and experience through higher education. Upon closer examination, your experience at Harvard, Harvard has the name Harvard, if nothing else, to go along with it. So when you graduate with a Harvard degree, yes, you get a well-rounded education. You also get the name Harvard. A similar argument can be made for Dartmouth. I'm wondering if you think that sort of less marquee named schools, smaller liberal arts schools, and again, I'm just reaching back to Willamette here as an example. It may not fit my question, but I'm reaching for as an example. Do they face a challenge of not satisfying the needs of employers, of students in this age of convergence that we're in?
No, I don't think they face that challenge. I think they face the challenge of not having the brand name and not having the national recognition of some of these other colleges and universities. But, these small liberal arts colleges, whether they're in Oregon or California or you know, the Midwest, or and obviously we have several of those here in New England, they are really terrific schools and provide students with a, you know, with a wonderful education. What Emerson does is we provide our students with a kind of jump start on their career. We do that really well, and provide them with project-based learning, with internships beginning very early in their career. And, you know, after all, despite all of the sorts of things that we want to, in addition to all the wonderful things we want to come out of a college education, a job is probably near the top of that list.
Absolutely. Listeners, I'm speaking with Lee Pelton. He's the president of Emerson College. Prior to that, he served for 13 years as president of Willamette University in Oregon. He's also the former dean of the college at Colgate University and Dartmouth. He's also an alum of Harvard University, and he sat on the board of overseers there as well. So he has a very diverse and in-depth view of the world of higher education overall, and especially now, where he's at a college that provides a specialized education, but with a heavy infusion of a liberal arts foundation. If you've got a question for President Pelton, you can call us at 1-800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. President Pelton, I wonder if we can actually talk for a minute or two about some of the other specific programs that you've launched and been a part of at Emerson. For example, I was curious about the Emerson Engagement Lab, an applied research lab at Emerson. What do you do? What do they do there?
Well, the idea of the lab is to provide programs that you know, that foster and support innovation. And so one of the signature program of that lab is, in fact, the creation of an accelerator program. And the accelerator program is a two-year program that provides advising, space, and startup funds for teams of Emerson undergraduates to launch new businesses before they graduate. We live in this remarkable age of entrepreneurship, and where the young entrepreneur really has become the sort of the new philosopher king of the first decade and a half of this new century. And what we've come to understand is that creativity cuts across all disciplines. It's not just a little pristine box related to arts and craft making, but it cuts across not only arts and culture, but also business and so on and so forth. So we're this accelerated program is harnessing the promise of creativity for our undergraduates, so that they can, in fact, start their businesses before they leave Emerson, or learn about the business of business, whatever that business might be for them. And in this respect, I think that we are probably the only college devoted to arts and communication who has established an accelerator program of this type.
Do programs like that help what might be a concern that a lot of Emerson students themselves or family members of students have? And that is, you know, here are young people who are passionate about arts and communication and media, which can be a really rough and tumble set of industries when it comes to finding a job. I mean, it sounds like that you're trying to equip these students with a set of skills that perhaps could make them better positioned for jobs in the 21st century in these fields or even outside of them.
That's a great question, and yes, we're meeting a need. It is an expressed need, not only by our wonderful students, but also by their parents who foot the bill and who expect that when their sons and daughters leave Emerson, that they will be industry ready, that they will have a grasp not only of these various disciplines, but they'll be able to go out into the work world and make a, you know, really productive, meaningful contribution.
Mm. Now, I ask that because before you joined Emerson or came to Emerson as president, if I remember correctly, you walked the streets and halls of the campus as a prospective parent, right?
I did, yes. My daughter is a member of the class of 2012. We overlapped for a year, and as she is so fond of reminding me, she was a senior and I was a first-year student.
Well, when your daughter was considering Emerson as a potential student before that, as a parent, did you see this as a place where you felt she could get the kind of education that she was looking for, and did you feel that it was going to be good value for the money?
I did, and it was the perfect school for her. She was wonderfully educated. I'm just pleased as punch with her education there. On her college visit, I remember getting out at the Boylston stop. I turned right, headed towards Back Bay. She turned left, headed towards the corner of Tremont and Boylston. And I said, "You're going the wrong direction." She said, "No, we're not. It's right here." And I had not realized that this small, sort of humble school that used to be on Beacon Street had packed up and moved to the theater district. And as a result of its tremendous, tremendous investment in that area, had changed the neighborhood for good and for the better. And so the facilities were fabulous. The creative laboratories and studios, and we manage three theaters, three major theaters. We have more theater seats than any other arts organization in the city. And so the college has made a tremendous investment, not only in itself, but in the community and the revitalization, as you noted, of that downtown Boston. Mm.
Well, let's talk about money for a moment, because we can't have a conversation about higher education without talking about money. We were looking at the latest figures for tuition, room, and board at Emerson, and it's just slightly north of $50,000 a year. For prospective families looking at that number, how do you tell them that it's a justified price?
Well, first of all, it's obviously that number is very high. But relative to our peers, however, we are not the cost leader. In fact, we are among a group of peers. We're near the bottom in terms of total cost. Nevertheless, $50,000 is a significant amount of money. It is the case, however, that all colleges and universities discount the published price by tuition, by using aid, and so that the cost on average is much less than the published price. In this country, four-year private colleges and university discount their published price by about 40%. Mm. So, if you go to Middlebury, for every dollar that you give the president at Middlebury, he gives you back 40 cents.
Is the discount rate similar at Emerson?
It is similar. It's not 40%, but it's less than 40%, but we do discount.
Okay.
Yes.
But nevertheless, do you hear from students and their families concern about the increasing cost year upon year, even given the discount rate? And especially, again, and I come back to this because a lot of students leaving Emerson may end up in the field that their passions bring them to, but they may not necessarily bring in the salary commensurate to what their passion is in the beginning years after their graduation.
Right. Cost is an issue. It's not only an issue at Emerson, it's a issue elsewhere. Nevertheless, there continues to be a strong demand for higher education. Obviously, there are discussions, significant and great discussions going on in the nationally about student debt and the public perceived value of a college degree. And despite all of that, demand for a college education remains very strong. If a college degree is worth about $1 million more to an individual on average than a high school diploma, and so families still see college, as they should, as a good investment in the future of their sons and daughters.
Well, let's take a quick call here. Wendy is calling from Gloucester. You're on the air, Wendy.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. A friend of mine who runs the Cape Pond Ice Company here in Gloucester, this company's been going on for probably a couple of centuries, providing ice to fishing boats. And he, because fishing boats started making their own ice, he kind of expanded into coolest guy around T-shirts. One of them was worn by a guy in the Perfect Storm and ice sculptures. But he's had a real struggle keeping this really historic company going. And he got connected through a wonderful attorney with graduate students at Emerson who were business students. And for their final project, they were asked to come up with ideas for, you know, how to kind of diversify the ice company in a way that could keep it going.
And were they able to do that, Wendy?
Well, yeah, they came up with, it's in the port area. And so some of the zoning has to be changed to allow for, you know, he can rent space to other businesses. But there were two ideas presented to this man who owns the company. And they were just, you know, incredibly imaginative.
Yeah.
One group came up with a reality TV show about the ice company.
Wendy, I'm afraid I'm going to have to take it back from you there, and I'm sorry to cut you off. It's just that we're running out of time here, and I wanted to give President Pelton a chance to sort of respond to your story about Emerson in the world, in this case, Gloucester.
Well, that's a great story, and it speaks to the point that I said earlier, that creativity is not a little pristine box, but it cuts across all disciplines. Give you a short story. Boston Strong, those T-shirts that we see are so ubiquitous, created by two students at Emerson in their dormitory room shortly after the Boston Marathon bombings last year. And they sold those shirts for $20 a piece and were able to raise $1 million on behalf of the Boston One Fund. Right. And this is creative. This is creative excellence and innovation and civic mindedness at its very, very best.
Well, finally, President Pelton, I have a question for you, which might lean into the cheeky territory, but I can't resist. You earned your PhD at Harvard with a focus on 19th century British prose and poetry. I love that about your background. I'm curious if the Emerson bug has bitten you, and maybe over time we'll see you, I don't know, making a documentary or a mini-series based on any of that prose or poetry you studied as a doctoral student.
Well, I don't know about a documentary, but I do dabble in writing and may someday, when I think that I've produced something worthy of actually seeing the light of day, I might in fact do that. But that's in the future.
Well, until then, nurturing the next generation of leaders in the arts seems to be job enough. Lee Pelton is president of Emerson College. He took that post in 2012 and is doing a wonderful job in expanding Emerson's presence into the world. President Pelton, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. I had a wonderful time.
Listeners, stick with us because coming up next, Celtics coach Brad Stevens. Quite a day here at Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty with Anthony Brooks. This is Radio Boston.